With his dry, dusty throat, he breasts up to the bar, pulls a wad from his coat. But the smile on his face quickly turns to a sneer as the barman says sadly, the pub's got no beer. Then the swaggy comes in, smothered in dust and flies, throws down his roll and rubs the sweat from his eyes. And when he's told, he says, what's this I hear? I've trudged 50 flaming miles to a pub with no beer. There's a dog on the veranda, for his master he waits. But the boss is inside, drinking wine with his mates. He hurries for cover, and he cringes in fear. It's no place for a dog, round a pub with no beer. And old Billy the blacksmith, the first time in his life, why he's gone home cold sober to his darling wife. He walks in the kitchen, she says, you're early, Bill dear. But he breaks down and tells her the pub has got no beer. Still tinkling in the old ancient till. The Wyandots are happy, and I know they're sincere when they say they don't care if the pub's got no beer. So it's a lonesome away from your kindred and all, by the campfire at night where the wild dingoes call. But there's nothing so lonesome, morbid or drear, than to stand in the bar of that pub with no beer.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is the Big Picture. Derek Gary, Lisa Nichols, Kim and Molly with you tonight for a special 2017 Oscars broadcast. We're going to help you dominate your Oscar pool this year. Trust our advice. You will win cash prizes, the admiration of your fellow Americans. Everything that matters in life.
I think it's all about the bragging rights.
It's, well, here...
And Derek can contend to that, because every year, and I mean by the 2 out of 3 years, we've been going up against each other. I have beat him. I win gracefully.
These are alternative facts. This is 100% not true.
Is that 100% not true? Kellyanne Conway, of alternative facts.
We have actually been fighting each other to a dead heat on
yes,
this
Yes, and it normally comes down to Best Picture.
Yes, it does.
Generally, every single year, we split. And let's see this time.
Just to give you a little preview, listeners, it is not going to come down to Best Picture this year. Mm-hmm. This year's Oscar pools are going to be won in the minor categories. because there's a lot of similarity.
Oh, and I'm sure Derek is going to remind everybody that he is an expert in the minor categories and the editing and
I will stand by my record in the minor categories. I think, how many years in a row have I predicted best song?
Not last year. I was the one.
Prior to that.
Isn't it so nice to have your wife here to remind you?
This is why she's not here. This is why she's not invited.
A couple of years.
Are you just overwhelmed with the amount of estrogen in the room right now?
Not at all. This is awesome.
So as you said, we have, of course, your wife here every single year for the Oscars. Because her, much like you, you guys see so many movies. And the person that I always look to, especially for my trivia team, with regards to movies is my best friend Kim, who I've been trying to get on the show for I don't know how many years.
This has been threatened for a long time.
And it is, thank you, Kim, for finally being here.
It is well known to listeners of this program that Kim hates me. Kim absolutely loathes everything that comes out of my mouth. Because Kim is an avid Huffington Post reader and believes everything they say.
Wow.
That is not true.
We barely even started.
Nice. No politic talk today.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yes, no, I have to set up all the tension in the room so that everybody at home. But now, because Lisa and I have been battling each other into a dead heat, last year we had teams.
Yes.
And this year, again, we're going to have teams.
Kim's spirit was here last year. We had her run-ins, unfortunately.
Correct.
Your team lost.
You did not want to have to listen to me in your ears last year.
And Kim and I are going for revenge this year. You were once again shackled with my wife, Lisa, because
I think I'm going to do better this year. I don't think it's shackled.
I think it's a strong three-legged race.
She actually, with that pick for best song last year, did a lot of favors for your team.
Yes,
a lot of favors for your team, and I think that was what wound up deciding it. As I recall, you guys won by one category last year.
No, we tied, and because I chose Best Picture.
Right, because we have
We have to disclaim it with every year that we win, we actually tie the amount of categories that we do get right.
Yeah.
But we always leave it down to Best Picture. So I think this year it's going to actually go with who won more categories.
So the way that this has worked with us for the last couple of years, because we're like 22, 23, 24 correct every year. By the way, if you're hitting those numbers at home and you're not, you can just tune this out right now. You're not, all right? We know what's going to win. And we'll tell you where there's some controversy and where something else might win and things that are mortal locks. But because Lisa and I have been battling each other into this dead heat, we came up with a new rule a couple of years ago that whoever gets Best Picture, if there is a tie, gets the win.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's dead even.
Who came up with that rule?
I have no idea who came up with that rule.
Your wife did.
I know that you'll take credit for it, whether it's true or not. So, here we go. We're going to go through all of the categories. We're going to hear all of the Best Original Song nominees tonight and hopefully wrap all of this up before 9 o'clock. When On the Town with Mikey D is here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. Kim, welcome.
Thank you.
It is very nice to have you here.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's we've been trying to get you on this show forever. We know that you're one of our most loyal listeners.
Yes.
Because I hear about all the mean things that you text about me during the show.
Not mean, just, you know, I don't always have a filter. And
there he goes saying nice things about Trump again, which is so not true.
No.
Yeah. I get that from the wife, too, by the way, so don't feel bad. She's
well,
like,
that's why I don't worry.
I see her in the bar after the show, and she's like, you know, the show has too much of a conservative bias when it's just you and Lisa. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Like, I love the two of you dearly, but it does.
A couple of weeks ago, listeners and Lisa will recall, I went on this whole thing about what the Democrats need to do to become a viable party again and how that would be good for America. I walk into the bar and this one's like, there's too much conservative bias on your show. I'm like, do you even listen to the show?
Not to the second hour, normally.
That was during the first hour, dear.
Oops.
Yeah. So
no,
there you
go. I don't
mind.
I haven't heard of many tangents lately. That's usually when I get frustrated.
Yeah.
So
that's
tangents.
When I start reading the text.
But
these are just for my enjoyment.
But no politics tonight. We're going to save that for the Oscar-winning speeches on Sunday night.
Of course.
Which may be a reason. Between that and Jimmy Kimmel, there's really no reason to watch this unless you're having friends over.
I do have to admit, though, I did kind of flip-flop on a few categories, and politics did play some sort of role in some of my choices. So we'll go into that once we hit them.
All right. So we begin, as the Academy does, with one of the majors, and then we're going to go into all the minors. The major that we're beginning with is a Best Supporting Actress. And the nominees for Actress in a Supporting Role, as the Academy likes to call it, are Viola Davis for Fences, Naomi Harris for Moonlight, Nicole Kidman for Lion, Octavia Spencer for Hidden Figures, and Michelle Williams for Manchester by the Sea. I will start this off and tell you that Viola Davis is a mortal lock in this category.
I agree.
She should be.
It's so funny because many, many years, just in the past, we've had, you know, this flip-flopping back and forth with Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress. And, you know, your locks are usually Best Actor and Best Actress, whereas this year I feel like it's the complete opposite, where Viola Davis, I think, completely wins this. I was a huge fan of Manchester by the Sea, and Michelle Williams, I thought, was great in it, even though she wasn't in it that much. Mm-hmm. Just her small parts in it were so impactful for the movie and brought so much dimension to it and emotion. So I really liked her in that. But even though I haven't seen Fences, I hear it's amazing.
If there is anybody that could beat Viola Davis, it is going to be Michelle Williams. That is the only...
I disagree.
What do you think?
Even though I've heard she's amazing, if anybody could beat Viola, it would probably be Naomi Harris from
She was fantastic in that movie.
Wow.
She played the mother of the main character who, is an addict. And how convincing that was. And, I mean, it's not very easy to maintain that role and kind of just seeing her move from an addict into becoming sober and rehab and the connection between the two of them.
She filmed it, you guys being Bond fans, she filmed it during a break during the press tour for Spectre.
Yeah.
Because she's Moneypenny in Bond. So she filmed the role in 3 days.
All of the buzz right now is around Viola Davis with Naomi Harris backing it up. Mm-hmm. So I have heard great things. I haven't actually seen Manchester by the Sea yet.
Neither have I.
I haven't seen it.
It's great.
Or excuse me, all the buzz between Viola Davis and Michelle Williams. So I haven't, possibly, but, and there's this whole thing about why Viola Davis isn't lead actress.
Right.
Because she's the lead actress in the movie, but somehow gets a supporting actress nomination.
That's always something I find interesting is those, how they make that decision, because someone with zero, practically any screen time. You look at something like The Hours with Nicole Kidman. She was lead. She had the least amount of screen time of all the women in the movie, but she won Best Lead Actress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if she wins, she will have had, I think, something like 1,000 times more screen time than What's-Her-Face did for Shakespeare in Love. Judi Dench, who came in and said 8 words and won a Best Supporting Actress.
Wait till we get to Supporting Actor.
But again, for these categories, does it even matter how much screen time you get?
No.
And really, as I said, impact that you have on the movie, the impact that you have on the story and the characters that you remember and say, this movie would be completely changed without that actress or without that character.
I think there should be a consistent threshold for what is supporting actress and lead actress.
Mm-hmm.
And Viola Davis does not meet the support. She meets the lead actress threshold. All we're looking for is a little consistency. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, and there.
But I mean, essentially, do we say she's supporting because she's the wife that's kind of put aside and isn't really the main role or the main star, regardless if it's male or female?
She's the number one female part in the play.
Yes,
and
but
in
again,
the,
you're talking about a movie that's
mostly
mainly
about the guys. I know.
On the man.
I know. So it's about the father and the son.
So I can understand where they're getting that from. Yes, she deserves to be in the lead actress category, but.
So there you go. Viola, any disagreement on Viola Davis?
We're all the same.
Nope.
We like Viola Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle Williams is the backup pick for three of us. Molly is with Naomi Watts, right?
Naomi Harris,
thank you. Costume design. The nominees are Allied, which is that Brad Pitt, Marion Cotillard.
I want to see that.
Is Your Wife
good.
A German Spy Movie?
I thought that was the new one that Mr. and Mrs. Smith replaced. Cheated on one wife with the other.
Yeah, you just swap them out.
It started going that way and then stopped being interesting. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which is apparently about wizards or something.
It was fantastic. Yeah. It was so really good. Was. Yeah. It was such a good movie.
Florence Foster Jenkins, which is a off-the-wall biopic with Meryl Streep wearing some very outrageous campy clothing. Jackie, which is a period piece about Jackie Kennedy shortly after the assassination of JFK. And La La Land, which is the big movie musical that everybody's talking about. Kim, your choice to tell us.
This is tough because the thing with La La Land being nominated this year is Hollywood loves itself more than anything in the world. Mm-hmm. Truthfully, so it's such a hard thing. Lisa and I were talking about it earlier, between who you want to win and who should win, especially this year more than others. I want Jackie to win, but I think it's going to end up being La La Land.
I actually went with Jackie.
Did you?
And I went on that just based on, again, it's a period piece, but because her, Jackie, the First Lady's whole presence was so much about her clothing, and that made up the character.
Yes.
And to stay true to that, and I think it did a really, really great job in it. I would love for Fantastic Beasts to win because, I mean, you look at just the main character and his, something like his jacket was so intricate and the design was beautifully done. I want that to win, but I'm picking Jackie.
Is there, Derek's looking at me. Is there any guess? Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any guess who I'm going to vote for this?
Well, I know you're going to go with Jackie.
Well, I agree completely with what Lisa said, how the clothes make the woman. And they did in reality too, and being a docent at JFK and seeing a lot of the actual dresses that she wore and then seeing them in the movie look the exact same. I mean, that was, I thought, really well done.
I'm going to split with my teammate and I'm going to go with Jackie. For exactly the reasons that Lisa gave. The costuming is so important in that film. And in particular...
Well, of course, and when you are trying to emulate a specific person or do a movie, basically a biography, and for her it to convince you, the costumes are so important.
One of the most important scenes in that movie, the scene that in any other year would have won Natalie Portman the Oscar, involves the pink dress. And it's just too much of a part of the story as opposed to something that the actors wear. Now, to Kim's point, if you're looking for an upset in this category, because La La Land is so heavily favored to win so much, yes, there is a possibility that it sweeps the technicals. We like, three of the four of us like Jackie, but La La Land is completely defensible.
The woman that did Jackie, what I found was interesting too. It's her first Oscar nomination, but she did Amelie.
Oh, you're talking about costumes.
The costumes, yeah.
She did Amelie?
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought that was...
That got nominated, right?
At the time, no. Not for costume, at least.
Best production design. This is the award for the look and feel of the film. The sets, the colors, the lighting, everything that comes together to make the image on the screen look the way that it does. And the nominees are Arrival, which is a science fiction movie about aliens coming to Earth. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which is a movie about wizards. Hail Caesar.
Really bad.
A Coen Brothers movie that surprisingly nobody liked. Mm-mm. That's different. La La Land, that movie musical everybody's talking about. And Passengers, which is another science fiction film that I don't think anybody actually saw.
No.
Did anyone actually see
what
Passengers?
Is that? Like, I've never heard of it, to be honest.
That's the one with the cute girl.
That gets me a lot.
And they're alone in space, and everything's trying
Jennifer
to kill
Lawrence.
Them. Jennifer Lawrence, yes.
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt and that's Jennifer Lawrence. If you would you like to be trapped alone in space with
My
Jennifer
parents
Lawrence?
Saw that.
Yes, no. I would.
My parents actually saw that.
Did they like it?
Nope.
Nobody liked it.
They said it took a long time to get going, which is
yeah.
Not good.
I mean, two people in space and nothing else for, I think, the first.
You can make that argument about Arrival, too, but Arrival is a slow burn film that totally justifies where it goes. Anyway, best production design, Lisa Nichols.
I went with Arrival. I mean, just based on... The movie was so... And
a couple of tents in a field? That's your definition of production design?
We're talking about, inside. I mean, just the whole scape of how when you drive into, or the trucks are driving towards the spaceship and seeing all the land around it and then going into the spaceships, it was amazing.
I like the shot of the clouds coming down the mountain, which I thought was gorgeous, but that's not necessarily production design. That's just...
I think Fantastic Beasts should win, but I'm going with Arrival.
All right. Molly.
Lala.
Any particular reason why?
I remember when we saw it, you thought that it was trying too hard.
Not
many
what,
different areas.
Not what I thought about it.
But
why
no,
you,
but when,
why you,
when
like.
You said that, I agreed somewhat, but I liked the whole... I got a very 20s vibe from the movie, and with the colors, with the... He always wore shoes that had spats on them a lot of the time, and just the feel of Los Angeles, and having been there recently, Lala.
I am going with La La Land. In the same way that Grand Budapest Hotel and Her swept all the technicals, mm-hmm. because they had a very specific look and feel to them and created this sort of very organic world out of everyday things that are all around us, I think La La Land has inherited that mantle this year, and there's really nothing else that's going to touch it. Mm-hmm. Kim?
Full agreement. It's going to be La La Land.
So we got La La Land. Lisa likes Arrival.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa's the only one that likes Arrival. She's not... don't go with Lisa on that one. If there is a spoiler in that category, maybe it is Arrival. That's the only possibility that's out there. All right, now we get into best sound editing and best sound mixing. These are the ones that everybody, including the Academy, screws up. So every year we explain to you what they are. Best sound editing is the creation of sound effects for a motion picture. These are all the bangs and booms and lasers and talking robots and all the other things that we have in motion pictures. Typically, this award goes to war films and big action movies. So it should be no surprise that the nominees are Arrival, Deepwater Horizon, Hacksaw Ridge, La La Land, and Sully. Good movie. That's the only nomination that it got. Molly, you kick us off.
Deepwater Horizon. Which both Derek and I saw, it was really, I actually really liked it. Just the sounds they had to make with the oil, you know, with the whole thing blowing up and going with deep water.
You're actually, that I think is a strong runner-up in this category.
Runner-up, oh, okay.
I'm going with Hacksaw Ridge. This is a simple rule that I have. If there is a war movie nominated for best sound editing, always choose the war movie.
Mm-hmm.
Good tip.
I mean, I can go on and on about how many war movies. Most recently, Argo.
Yeah.
Won in this category. Mm-hmm. Saving Private Ryan, and so on and so on. And I feel like we've had this conversation in previous years about this category and kind of decided, or how you decided. And
Is it a war movie? Check.
A lot of times, space will win. And I do agree with you, Molly. What they did in Deepwater Horizon was fantastic. And I mean, even if you look at any of these, I've seen everything except for La La Land. And I'm going to go with Derek and Hacksaw Ridge. When you have a war, it's the blood splattering on a helmet. It's the bullet gun.
Yeah, it's the thing that when you close your eyes,
you can hear
it. Yep.
So. It's like that scene in... not American. Is it American Soldier?
American Sniper.
I just watched that.
When he closes his eyes and he thinks he's watching the TV and he can hear everything that was going on.
His eyes weren't closed.
That was a perfect, but it was a perfect example. He thought he was watching the TV, or mm-hmm. we assumed that he was. Mm-hmm. That's a perfect example of what you just mm-hmm. said. When you close your eyes, you feel like you're there.
I used that example last year because that
really,
is...
Really good example.
Did you really?
Yes, that is sound editing. Mm-hmm. Is that scene when he first gets home in American Sniper and you think he's watching TV and the camera pulls around and you realize he's staring at a blank screen. All of those sound effects you hear that make the war, that's sound editing. And that's what you're voting on in that category. Not that anyone, including the Academy, understands this. Which brings us to best sound mixing. And by the way, I think Deepwater Horizon is a good spoiler candidate, although I think Hacksaw Ridge is going to take it.
If
Arrival had done more with the sound of the aliens, could have walked away with this category. Mm-hmm. But as it was, the aliens themselves were pretty silent after the first 15 minutes or so of that movie. Best sound mixing. This is where you take all the sound effects, all the recorded dialogue, all the music, everything, and turn it into the final mix of the film. This is a category that very heavily favors musicals. Very heavily. Across the history of the Academy, heavily favors musicals. With that in mind, the nominees are Arrival, Hacksaw Ridge, La La Land, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, something else about wizards. No, there weren't any wizards in that. That was just robots and people shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi, I guess had to get nominated for something. I am going with La La Land for obvious reasons.
Yes,
agree.
Okay,
green. You mentioned how this category heavily favors musicals, so obviously La La Land being a good choice, but a few years ago, Whiplash won this category. And that's when they added, by the same director, when they added all the drum beats and all the music. And
well, it's just another layer that a normal movie doesn't
always have. Was that the year that movie split?
Yes.
Or
no.
They won for both of them?
No, it only won one. That I do remember.
Mm-hmm. Because I feel like, Derek, you and I split a lot on these categories because sometimes you do have a movie that is going to take both of them. And what was the one 2 years ago with Sandra Bullock and
Gravity.
Mm-hmm. Didn't that win or you voted for it to get?
One. I don't know.
That's what I was thinking of because that was like about her breathing in several scenes and just.
I feel like that one for editing.
I'm looking it up right now.
Gravity won both that year. And this is the problem because as I say, people get confused about this category. So La La Land is going to win this award unless everyone in the Academy gets confused like they always do, in which case Hacksaw Ridge is your only spoiler candidate. But really, La La Land is going to win this award. 855-915-9636 is the phone number. It is The Big Picture here on WMFO Medford. Taking a look at Oscar nominees 2017. And as promised, you're going to hear all of the Oscar-nominated songs tonight. And we begin with the song from DreamWorks Animation's Trolls. You've probably heard it on the radio. You're going to hear it again here on WMFO Medford.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city, off from my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. Come on, like the way we rock it. So don't stop. And under the lights when everything goes. Nowhere to hide when I'm getting you close. When we move, well, you already know. So just imagine. Nothing I can see but you when you dance. It's in the air, it's in my blood, it's rushing on. I don't need no reason, don't be control. I fly so high, no ceiling when I'm in my zone. Cause I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. You're more like the way we rock it. So don't stop, stop. Just dance, dance, dance. Come on. All those things I shouldn't do, but you dance.
Prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active. Another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes. Another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger. Two if you're very overweight. And three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
When the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh,
yes. Glory. I just want to make sure.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 in Medford. We are every Wednesday night, 7 to 9. As always, you can be a part of the show and call us at 855-915-9636. This is, we're putting all the politics talk away for the week, and it is our annual Oscar picking the winners. We're going to make sure that you win your pool. And, of course, we have two very special guests, Molly Gary, Derek's wife, and my best friend, Kim Tibbetts, here. And, yeah. And so we're going to continue with our categories.
Oh, we just heard the first of the Oscar-nominated songs. That was Can't Stop the Feeling from Trolls by Justin Timberlake. Guess what? You get to hear that again Sunday night. Aren't you a lucky person?
I don't. That actually was my second runner-up for worst song of the year. Shoot. During the end of the year Big Picture.
Yes, it was. Sure. But now it's Academy nominated, and boy, doesn't that make you feel differently about it? No, it doesn't. All right. Best animated short. I've actually seen all of these this year, and they are all good, but one of them really stands out from the rest. The nominees are Blind Vaisha, which is a charcoal animated film that is really out there.
It was my least favorite, to be honest.
It's about a girl who was born who can only see the past through one eye and only see the future through the other eye, and it's asking a lot of philosophical questions. Borrowed Time was made by a couple of Pixar animators and is a very, very sad story about a man reflecting on an event that took place in the Old West. It's just glum and dour, beautifully animated, beautifully moving, but not anything that you're going to watch for entertainment value. Pearl, Pear Cider and Cigarettes is a near 30-minute
Oh, try 35.
Animated film. No, I think it's only 26, believe it or not. It just seems that long. About a guy helping his friend get a liver and get out of China. Is that where it was? Hong Kong? Where the heck was he?
I think he was in China. Yeah.
It's way too long.
It's very, somewhere in China.
It's very ambitious, but way too long. Pearl, which was actually a virtual reality film.
So good.
Although it's only been shown in 2D. It's essentially a long music video animated film that tells a story about how a father inspires his daughter to become a musician and how this one particular car is crucial to everything that happens in their lives. It is a great, great film. But the winner for me is Pixar's Piper, which showed before Finding Dory, so you've probably seen it. It's short, it's sweet, it's to the point, nothing is wasted, and it's incredibly enjoyable. Kim?
Agreed. I was just actually in Disney, and we went to, they did a 4D of Pixar animated shorts.
Oh, cool.
And this actually they showed, and it was just as adorable.
So cute.
On the big, big screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's generally picking this overall to be the winner in this category. But I heard that Pearl is supposed to be, you know, maybe that sleeper that's going to come up. But I'm going to go for Piper.
Me too. Even though Derek knows I loved Pearl. Loved it.
So that's 4-for-4 on Piper. Pixar actually hasn't won in this category in a number of years. But this film to me looks like
what
the
have
one
they
that's
won before?
Going to do it for them. Pixar has won Best Animated Feature plenty of times.
Oh, of course.
But for shorts, was it Jerry's Game? I feel like might have been.
Possibly.
That was the chess, the older gentleman with the chess.
Yeah. There were a couple that probably should have won that did not. Best Documentary Short. Now, you can actually see two of these if you have Netflix, and two more of them are on YouTube right now. And I will tell you where to go and see what in this category, as soon as I can find this silly thing in here somewhere.
Probably towards the bottom.
Nope, believe it or not, they moved it up this year. This is the problem with trying to juggle all of these different things. Okay, so here we go. Extremis is available on Netflix. It is a Netflix documentary that follows a palliative care doctor at a New York hospital coping with patients who are trying to decide whether or not they're ready to die, and the family members on whether or not their loved ones should be allowed to die. 4.1 Miles is available on YouTube, and it is a film about a fisherman in Greece who is rescuing migrants who are crossing the 4.1 miles between the coast of Turkey and the Isle of Lesbos. Most of this focuses on a single incident in which a refugee boat capsized and a number of people died. If you want to see some dead kids, here's your film. Enjoy. Joe's Violin, which was produced by a former Daily Show producer, tells the story of a man who was interred during the Holocaust. He wasn't in one of the concentration camps. He was in Siberia. But he bought a violin when he came back to the resettlement center and donates it to a program in New York that takes donated instruments and gives them to refugee children to help them learn an instrument and learn about music. It is a particularly moving film, and it has the Holocaust angle.
It made me cry.
Yes.
We'll get to that in a second. Watani, My Homeland is a film about a Syrian immigrant. This is the one that you can't see anywhere online right now. Trying to adjust to life in the United States. And The White Helmets, it's available on Netflix, is about a volunteer force in Syria that goes into areas that have been bombed to rescue people. And you follow them both through some actual attacks and also through their training in Turkey, during which time one of the volunteers is trying to figure out whether or not his brother has been killed on the job. This is a tricky one this year. There are two films that are, one of these two films is going to win. Joe's Violin. I mentioned the Holocaust. As soon as you say
always,
the Holocaust.
Always wins.
As soon as you say the Holocaust.
Especially in these shorts.
Pick the Holocaust movie. Mm-hmm. However, The White Helmets, the problem with Joe's Violin, for those who've seen it, doesn't have a lot of substance to it. The White Helmets does. The White Helmets is a really good movie about a major conflict that everybody is concerned about that George Clooney has expressed an interest in turning into a feature film. So there is a lot going for, and I've gone back and forth on documentary short this year. Ultimately, I am picking the White Helmets because Joe's violin easily could be the winner here. But I think the White Helmets is a little bit more immediate, and I think Joe's violin is just a little too surface at the end of the day.
I had the exact same back and forth, and ultimately I did go with Joe's violin because, again, I think Holocaust always wins. There's so many in this category, especially, that does do deal with refugees and the Syrian crisis, and I feel like Hollywood wants to forget about it, or not think about it, not think about what's going on. So when we talk about like 4.1 miles, they don't want to see dead kids floating in the sea. They want to keep it over there and not over here, whereas we have a story that kind of incorporates both of that, donating music, expanding the arts. So I think that's why it's going to pick. But I agree with you. White Helmets is definitely up there. But I'm going with violin.
Kim?
I'm sticking with my teammate. I'm going with the White Helmets.
Violin. Because I know how...
Both of us versus you.
I haven't seen the White Helmets yet, and I want to, but... arts having made such a big impact in my life and how much it meant to me, especially in school, I could definitely appreciate it. That whole thing.
It's a tearjerker. There's no question.
It made me cry.
Because
you saw that.
Joe meets the 13-year-old girl who's now playing his violin, and she plays a song that he knows. And it's this beautiful moment. And you got the Holocaust angle, you got the arts making everybody's lives better angle. These are things that the Academy laps up.
Of course. I mean, think about The Pianist and how that movie, Holocaust, music, bringing that together and taking tragedy and turning it into happiness.
Here's what I want everyone making this decision to do. I want you to watch that movie, and then I immediately want you to watch The White Helmets, because The White Helmets has so much substance to it and is... I think ultimately one of the problems with Joe's violin is it's a little bit forced. And you know it's a little bit forced, and you know it's a setup, whereas the White Helmets is all like straight up, you know, you are there footage. I mean, a bomb goes off next to the cameraman in one of these shots, and you see a bomb take somebody out in a different shot. It's so real, it's so vital, it's so now, and it's so much better than Joe's violin. That I think it
That's
edges.
Your opinion.
Neither one of them
Derek,
would surprise me.
Derek, tell us really which one you like.
Neither one of them would surprise me. For different reasons.
So this is the first category that both Molly and I are agreeing, and both you and Kim. Now it's getting interesting.
Yes. So, documentary feature. Your nominees are Fire at Sea, which is was actually a submission for foreign film. And this talks about what's going on the island of Lampedusa in Sicily with refugees showing up on the island of Sicily. Life Animated, which won the Sundance Directing Award, talks about an autistic boy and how his family uses Disney animated films to help him learn to express himself. We have I Am Not Your Negro, which is an examination of James Baldwin's philosophy and works, but not so much James Baldwin himself. 13th is a film by Ava DuVernay talking about the 13th Amendment and how everything that it promised turned out to be a bit of a lie.
On Netflix.
Mm-hmm. That's available on Netflix. And then if you got 7 hours to spare, OJ, Made in America... which goes through...
On Amazon.
Which is on Amazon, which goes through everything that happened during the O.J. Simpson trial.
Kim, before and after.
Kim, you kick us off on this one.
I think that I'm going to keep with the trend of the O.J. Made in America. It just cleaned up at the Emmys, even though that was a different... wasn't the documentary style. And it's hot right now. I think all of us that were around to see it were a little young to really understand what was going on in the Renaissance. Well, maybe not Derek, but that was... That was your wife. I just went on that.
All us millennials, Derek.
I will never forget. The Bronco Chase was actually my birthday.
Was it really?
Year, yeah.
What a great way to remember.
I will never forget smoking marijuana, drinking Jägermeister, ordering a Domino's pizza, and watching the Bronco Chase.
I think I was 12.
With my roommate.
I'm agreeing with Kim. I picked OJ, Made in America. I would like to thank also all of my friends that lent me their Amazon passwords and Netflix so that I could see many of these movies. But I thought it was really great. This is actually something that really intrigues me, and it kind of got sparked with that FX series and watching that. And again, just like you said, there is such buzz around it right now, just coming off of the Emmys. So I think it has the momentum to take the win.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, I saw it when it first came out. We watched it on demand, and then I just rewatched it about a month ago, and that definitely, OJ's hot right now.
I am going to say that I Am Not Your Negro is going to be the upset if
you think so?
Something else wins.
Are we all in agreement on this one?
Yes.
It's OJ Made in America. Just go for OJ Made in America.
How's he doing?
He's up for parole soon, actually.
The only possible spoiler kidding. For in this category for me is 13th.
Really?
If there is some residual guilt about Selma not getting nominated and about Ava DuVernay not getting nominated, this would be a chance at a make good for the Academy. And if you didn't have another great film about race in America, in the United States, out there, I'd say Ava DuVernay is going to win this. Still could be a spoiler, but OJ, I lived through that. I remember everything except his time when he was in college, and it's all dead on, and it's all 100% right, and it's a great film.
It really is. It's very gripping.
7 freaking hours long.
I know.
7 hours, man. But the thing about it is, for a 7-hour documentary, everybody's watched it.
It's in parts, at least. It's not like you're watching continuous 7 hours. It's each, like 2 hours
go
long.
Talk to
it aired over a few weeks.
Yeah, go talk to a friend and be like, did you see the OJ thing? And it's, oh, yeah, I saw the OJ thing. Everybody liked it. Mm-hmm. So credit to them. Best Foreign Language Film. And the nominees are Land of Mine from Denmark, which is about the Danish, I think he was the king. The Danish king is in this. It's about a Danish sergeant protecting German POWs left at the end of World War II. A Man Called Ove, about an older Swedish man. This was also nominated for Best Makeup because they transformed a young actor into the old man who's at war with the family that moves in next door to him. The Salesman, directed by Asghar Farhadi, and I have to mention this name, he has won before. He has won for Separation in 2011, and this is a film about a couple, young couple, violence, hiding violence, it's a little bit of crime and punishment kind of story. Tana, out of Australia, which is about native tribes trying to keep their cultural traditions alive while at the same time enter the modern world. And Tony Erdmann, which is a 3-hour German comedy.
Jeez.
Germans can't be funny for 3 seconds. Well, name the last time you heard the phrase German comedy.
Exactly.
Oh, those wacky Germans are at it again.
Probably not going to win.
Molly.
Usually don't want to hear what's coming after sentence.
I've heard a lot of buzz about Tana, so I'm just going with that one.
Now I've lost my place over here. Tony Erdmann was actually the front runner for this thing.
It was for a very long time.
Was it?
And then something happened.
Huh.
Yeah, we were talking about, you know, politics somehow getting involved.
Yeah.
There it is.
Farhadi, yes. The director of The Salesman, announced that he would not be attending the Oscars to protest Donald Trump's immigration ban.
Bravo. Yes. And I should have picked that one.
May I give you his exact quote?
Yes.
You know, this statement really brings advocates to his cause. To humiliate one nation with the pretext of guarding the security of another is not a new phenomenon in history, and has always laid the groundwork for a certain creation of future divide and anonymity.
Good for him.
And all of a sudden, the film leapt to first place.
Yes.
I wish you had said this before I made my pick.
Damn you, Molly.
No.
See, there's some secrets that he keeps from you.
Well,
Kim.
He did that deliberately.
No, I didn't do that deliberately. I said Derek, earlier that you cheat. Or that was before the show that I said she cheated, wasn't it? I said she takes my picks.
I don't take your picks. Jeez. I take somebody else's picks.
She takes them into consideration.
Yes.
I think the salesman has just come from behind and just is so in the populace and what's going on and everybody's all about it. And Hollywood is already anti this.
Yeah, and I think the big question is, where is Elle? I mean, you have...
I was wondering the same thing.
Everybody's like... And that's the French film that won Best Actress...
nomination, yeah.
Yeah, which is crazy
I believe Isabelle Huppert, who plays the lead in Elle, which is a film about a woman who gets raped and then gets revenge. Isabelle Huppert won the Golden Globe.
She did.
And I think she also won the BAFTA, did she not?
I think she won
no,
that.
No, Emma.
Oh, Emma won the bet. Okay.
My aunt saw it, and my aunt is really... She's in L.A., so she gets a lot of the movies out there that we don't get here. And she's a huge foreign film buff. She hated it.
But...
She hated it.
I agree. If you've nominated Isabelle Huppert as Best Actress, why didn't you nominate this for Best Foreign Language Film?
Movie wasn't good enough, apparently.
I have a feeling I'm going to lose this category, thanks to somebody.
It's often that sometimes the actor is the best part of any film anyway, so.
It's all right, Molly. I got you back.
What?
It's fine.
If I lose by one, it's on you.
It's not on me.
Yes, it is.
Why? It's not my job to tell you the politics behind every single Oscar pick.
Don't you listen to our show, or are we conservative biased.
By the way, I'm the numbers guy in all of this. I'm the one that goes on the odds and the formulas and the past awards and all the rest of this.
No, I've heard good things about Tana, so that's why I picked.
I've heard good things about it too, but it is most likely going to go to
the salesman.
Mm-hmm. If people didn't vote politics, the Germans are going to take it for Tony Erdmann. So Tony Erdmann is a respectable.
How far in advance do ballots go in? Were they due this past weekend?
Probably.
Something like that?
They were due 2 days ago, I think.
I think it was a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. So there was certainly enough time in there for all the last-minute people to be like, I support the Iranian guy. I hate Donald Trump.
And I feel like everybody waits till last minute anyways.
Yeah. I hate Donald Trump. I'm voting for the Iranian film. And let's be honest, the Germans aren't funny, so nothing is really being robbed here. They're not. Go find me a funny German.
I worked with one. He wasn't that funny.
Yeah. Like, can we talk about great...
Is it his fault, though?
Very, very nice guy.
Yeah.
Can we talk about great German comedians of history? Name one. You can't, because there aren't any. The Germans are very good at manufacturing and precision. That's what they do. They don't do comedy. 855-915-9636. It is our annual Oscar prediction show. We guarantee you will win your Oscar pool. That guarantee is not guaranteed. When we come back, we're going to start getting into some of the major categories. But first, here is another of the films, or another of the songs, nominated for Best Original Song 2016.
I should close my eyes that my soul can't see. And there's a place at the table that you save for me. So many thousand miles o'er land and sea. I hope to dare that you hear my prayer. And somehow I'll be there. It's but a concrete floor where my head will lay. And though the walls of this prison are as cold as clay, but there's a shaft of light where I count my days. So don't despair of the empty chair. And somehow I'll be there. Some days I'm strong, some days I'm weak. On days when I'm broken, I can barely speak. That place in my head where my thoughts still roam, somehow I've come home. And when the winter comes and the trees lie bare, and you just stare out the window in the darkness there, well, I was always late for every meal, you'll swear, would keep my place and the empty chair. And somehow I'll be there. And somehow I'll be there.
Storm. When it kicked in, we had a plan.
Separated.
We were able to get in touch with each other in no time.
I had no idea how to find each other.
My husband kept the kids
tried
occupied.
Calling our son, but there was no reception. Everything was down.
I felt like
breaking down.
We handled everything very well.
But I had to try and stay calm.
The whole experience was fine.
Was the most frightening 10 hours of my life.
It was kind of like a little family adventure.
Every mother hopes will never happen to her.
I remember the relief of being
that
together.
I realized he was out there all alone.
If there's one piece of advice I'd offer other moms out there, It's to stay calm and keep to the plan.
Some parents plan ahead, some don't. Make sure you know where to find your family in an emergency. Start your plan at ready.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
WMFO 91.5 Medford. This is The Big Picture, here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9, as always. The way that you be a part of the show is you give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. And we continue our show tonight with all of our Oscar picks. Derek Gary here, and I am Lisa Nichols, and here with special guests Molly Gary and Kim Tibbetts. And we are helping you, or attempting to help you, because we have a pretty good track record in past years to win your, either whether you're doing an Oscar work pool or you're having a party on Sunday night, or just for your own entertainment and trying to do make your own choices. So we are here to continue with the category. We've already gone through some of the editing and sound mixing and all those smaller categories, and now we're starting to get into some of the bigger ones.
So yeah, now we get into the good stuff. We just heard the second nominated song for mm-hmm. Best Original Song. That was Sting with The Empty Chair from what's the name of that?
Jim.
Yes, the James Foley story. You can just watch that song on YouTube.